B-Pod Studios.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975 on the Comcast Business Hotline right now. He covers the Giants for ESPN, Mr. Jordan Renan. How are you today, Jordan?
Hi, what's going on, man? All good here, are you?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it. Giants coming up against the Eagles. First of two matchups coming up in the last 5 weeks of the season. Giants were off to a great start. The last five games have been a little bit tougher sledding. Where does the team, like, outside of this Eagles matchup, where does the team stand right now in your eyes entering the game?
They're relatively healthy, although now Saquon Barkley is kind of in jeopardy, which is a step in the right direction for them. That's been part of their problems and their struggles recently. Barkley's dealing with some sort of neck injury. We'll see about Sunday. He's listed as questionable right now. But really, what happened with the Giants is they started strong. They were getting the most out of, you know, what the roster is, right? The roster, you have to be realistic. The roster is definitely, to be nice, it's flawed, right? It's a flawed roster. This is not even close to a perfect roster. The Eagles are much more talented from top to bottom. They were able to maximize their talent early in the year. Now they're playing higher level of competition, and at the same time, they're not quite playing as well. They're making more mistakes, making the big plays down the stretch that they made earlier this season, and that's where you have a 7-4-1 team. But realistically, Ty, I don't know about you, but I didn't pick them to make the playoffs. I didn't think they'd be in this spot. To have 7 wins already at this point in the season is a huge success for the Giants.
If you had to guess, is it leaning towards a higher percentage Barkley does or doesn't play?
I would say does, based on what I saw today at practice. He was, like, when they went and started drills and ran a play with what essentially would be the first team offense, he was on the field. Now, it's a little different because when you have a neck injury, it's all about whether he could stay in contact and whether it's safe for him in contact-wise. So, I don't know. We'll have to wait till Sunday, but I put it as a more optimistic than less.
All right, with the Giants struggling against the run and against the pass, how are they even going to compete with the Eagles' offense?
Yeah, isn't that a bad combination? You're struggling against the run and the pass. It's really a good question. What the Giants do have is their pass rush is almost whole now. Azeez Ojulari, who was the edge rusher, that second-year edge rusher who they're hoping was opposite Kayvon Thibodeau, he's missed most of the year, but he came back last week and played really well. He had a calf injuries he was dealing with most of the season. But they had him and Thibodeau on both sides, and they were pressuring Taylor Heinicke consistently. On, like, every play, it seemed like Heinicke was under pressure. So if there's a path to success for this Giants defense, it's being able to create and sustain consistent pressure on Jalen Hurts when they go and pass the ball. It's not like you can just go and pound the ball up the middle against the Giants either. Success in the run game comes when teams run at their edges. So can the Eagles run at their edges? They probably can. And can they win one-on-one matchups with their wide receiver against their cornerbacks? Yeah. So the Giants' only real path is, okay, we're just going to pressure Jalen Hurts so much that he plays poorly. And he does kind of have a track record of playing poorly against the Giants. He probably played the worst game of his career last year against the Giants.
He did. Now, Jordan, your coach, Brian Daboll, we actually, from a distance, we all respect him. We know how good a job he's done all year. And you mentioned on paper, the talent level, he seems to be exceeding that. He's absolutely getting the most from that talent level. Over 17 games, though, usually you can't escape the flaws in the roster. What has he done so well to get, one, a buy-in, and two, seem to be, why is he getting so much from so many players that maybe aren't as good as we thought?
I think he's just got them to buy in to, right, like, what he's selling. And I know people like to preach culture, culture, culture. To me, the biggest culture is winning. And so he was preaching whatever Brian Daboll was preaching, right? teamwork, you know, worry about this week, worry about today. Very Belichickian, like, in that regard, is like, okay, worry about today. Still, when you ask him questions about the playoffs, he just constantly is like, we're not worried about the playoffs, worry about today, worry about this week, we're worried about the Eagles. Like that, you know, that he's that approach, but it's a lot easier for a player to buy into that approach when you're games. That, right? He was aggressive. They got a 2-point conversion on the road and he left and right. So it's easy then to buy what he's selling. And he's a very personable guy. So I think he's able to connect with the players and that's really worked. And it's helped him get the most out of players. And he's a good X and O's guy too. I mean, that's why he got this job in the first place. If you look at it offensively, and he's done a pretty good job of getting the most out of Daniel Jones and this offense, including moving the pocket for Daniel Jones consistently, not putting him in positions where their offensive line won't be able to hold up because they're not a great pass blocking unit. He has no weapons to throw to, like, really limiting the amount of risks they take with Daniel Jones and how much they put him in those disadvantageous positions.
You brought up the quarterback. What's the feeling on the quarterback up there? How do you think the organization views him right now?
I think the feeling from the fan base is really split. I think the Giants really do like Daniel Jones and a lot of the things he does. Now, the one thing you wonder is every time you ask Brian Daboll about him, though, he says he's played well, he's done everything we've asked him to do. And you're like, okay, well, why haven't you asked him to do more then, right? It's the most important position, it's the quarterback. And is it, how much of that is because they don't want Daniel Jones to make mistakes, or how much of that is they know they can't pass protect in straight, you know, passing situations, but if they have to just drop back and sling it around, their pass protection will break down. And he just doesn't have weapons to throw to. The Giants' second wide receiver right now, first of all, their number one wide receiver, Darius Slayton, he started the summer 7th on the depth chart. Okay? 7th. They basically didn't want him on the roster. Number two wide receiver right now, Isaiah Hodgins. He was claimed off waivers 6 weeks ago from the Bills. He's starting for the Giants. That's what he's working with, Daniel Jones.
I got to go to this. All the injuries, you got to, Saquon's partially hurt. Is there a chance this isn't even a game? I mean, in all honesty, because it sounds like the Giants have a lot of issues going into Sunday.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one for them. I mean, they've struggled against especially recently against the better level of competition. I think this is really going to be a tough one. I'll be honest. When I looked at the spread, after Sunday's tie to Washington, weird to say that tie, I turned to some people in the press. I said, I'm going to look up the spread. What do you think it is against the Eagles? And all three of us thought it was going to be double digits. And I was surprised. It opened at 6.5. And I was like, wow. That's actually lower than I thought. The only path for Giants success is to be able to run the ball consistently, be opportunistic defensively, keep the Eagles out of the end zone when they get in the red zone, and make plays down the stretch of a tight game. Like, that's their recipe for success every game that they won this year. It's a lot harder to do against these teams that are more talented. I'd be surprised if they were able to keep this game close.
Last thing for me, Jordan, the guys might have more. You just mentioned the tie, and you mentioned some of the guys that are nicked up. Having to play 5 quarters when the Eagles basically last week, they were able to pull a lot of guys and only play 3 quarters. You were around the team. Are guys a little nicked up after having to play the overtime game against Washington last week?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be a huge factor. The Giants, their injuries, the ones they do have, like Adoree Jackson or, some of the players that are out long-term, Xavier McKinney, these aren't guys that were nicked up this week. They actually came out of that game last week fairly healthy. But I do think that when you look at this game, this is like a bonus game for the Giants. If they happen to win it, that's great. Next week is the game for them, and Washington, really. It's going to determine which one of them likely makes the playoffs. Like, that's the huge game for them, I think. If they can get anything out of this game, huge bonus for them. But otherwise, you know, kind of just turn our attention towards next week at this point.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Jordan. We know NFC East matchups are rarely easy, despite how it looks on paper. Appreciate the information and your time so much, man.
You got it, guys. Enjoy the game.
All right, thank you. That was Jordan Renan, covers the Giants for ESPN.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.